Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, then.
Spiegel and Holmes.
The woo people are out.
Thanks for playing some Wu-Tang. That made me feel good.
Chilling with my man, Rusty Ghost, is a beast.
Wu-Tang is for the children.
Afternoons on the Score.
The Don, as I call him. Poles, Chef Poles.
The Don is the boss, is the big boss of the entire family. You know, so Ian Cunningham is clearly his consigliere. We know that. That part of it works. If you just stay to the football side, I think the parallel from Caleb Williams works just fine.
So what do you have Matt Eberflus as?
A capo.
Okay. Fair enough.
You think Tanny is a capo?
Underboss? An underboss would be good, yeah.
What's Caleb?
Ooh.
The one that everyone has to be afraid of. Like, he has to be careful because he's...
He's definitely running his own crew, and he's the next in line for the big chair. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I guess Eberflus is the underboss, if Ian Cunningham is the consigliere. Either way, I think George is Fredo, right?
Wow.
What?
Wow.
I mean, Ryan Poles knew it was him. He knew it was him.
It's Ted Phillips. You know what really sucks?
What's that, Lawrence Holmes?
Every interaction that I've had with Ted Phillips has been more than pleasant.
Oh, sure.
I actually really like Ted.
Oh, that's nice. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that.
But the whole thing with...
The whole thing with
the stadium that's already there.
Yeah.
Then the stadium has a whole thing. But every interaction I've ever had with Ted, I'd be like, I like Ted. Ted's all right.
I mean, you could argue that Ted is Arlington Heights, though, and Kevin Warren is Lakefront, if you wanted to take it to that kind of spot.
But Ted is also Lakefront.
Oh, yeah, good point. You know why? It's because McCaskies are Lakefront.
Fredo. Anyway.
That's why you can't have a floating stadium. George won't get on a boat to go out there.
Football boat. And let's go back to London for a second. Ryan Poles actually had a lot of things to say, and it was great to – I can't stress this enough. You brought up the point earlier, Speaks, and you're so right on. I don't know how people feel about Ryan Poles, and it's fair to feel like, hey, there have been some misses along with some hits. I do appreciate that he is willing to talk to you through us, that he makes himself available. Because that's the way that it should be.
It's the way it should be. And I think he likes to talk a little bit. And he's not afraid of it. Because like it's a good moment, but also he's like unafraid to defend his choices.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, okay, well that didn't work. That didn't happen, you know, with Chase Claypool. He was not afraid to come out there and talk about it.
So it's good that he is out here talking about a lot of things. So why don't we take a listen? Him talking about offense that does have to do with Caleb, but is a little bit more specific on a couple of other guys.
Yeah, and I really want to know, there's some offensive line thoughts in here, and that is his biggest mistake so far, at least on this team.
Yeah, his openness. Again, we all, from scouting to coaching, we all have these, you know, philosophies that, you know, we have, but at the end of the day, it's about the players and putting them in a position to be successful. So just identifying where Caleb's at in his process. Do we need to slow it up? Do we need to speed it down? Do we need to make decisions like getting in a no huddle in a tempo situation so he can get into a rhythm, changing the cadence up, different things like that. So his ability to adapt on the fly has been impressive as we've gone.
Right, do you have any level of concern with Keenan Allen slow starting? I mean, he's been hurt. Mm-hmm. He won't even down the field, but frankly, just hasn't looked like the same guy.
Yeah, there were some really good routes this past game, and I feel like he's trending in the right direction. Again, when you start the season, different guys are on different paths, get a little dinged up, a little slow start. But really, I felt like Keenan has done a good job as he's gone week to week here and started to play. There's a couple third down conversions that he had this past game that it was like, all right, that's It reminded me of the guy that I've watched over the years playing, and he's going to be a really good option for Caleb as we go.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of explaining the slow start that Swift had, and then his ability the last two games look a lot more like the guy that was on the Eagles last year.
Yeah, I think we've changed a few things in our run game that allow him to get going. I think as well as like anybody, there's some struggles that guys have that you have to identify. Like, all right, I got to really focus on improving this. And he's done that. And even in the screen game, I thought we were a little out of rhythm and timing. Little details were off early in the season. And then you saw those things start to click. And then once you start adding all these different elements, you're starting to see the ball get distributed evenly across the field. And there's going to be opportunities for bigger plays because you have to be concerned about the different playmakers on the field.
What have you seen in the league after the Indy game, where it's only three games, but there seemed to be some sense of that this is not too early, where we need to get things focused and on track? And what role did you play in that reckoning?
I got to give a lot of credit to our leadership group on the team, a lot of credit to Foose and Shane and Eric. I thought they did a fantastic job identifying, all right, this isn't, you know, when you lose a game like that, this isn't acceptable. So we're going to get together and we're going to find solutions. And they did that fast. And they took initiative to do that. And I think it speaks, you know, volumes on their leadership and desire to get this team where it needs to be as fast as possible. It's been a little up and down there. But I think, you know, I think it was Brad that asked me the question at the beginning of the season about the old line, and I said I was really happy with the depth that we've had, and that's shown up. And there's guys like Pryor who are looking for opportunities, and they've stepped in there and done a really good job. And again, with Caleb really making sure he's got depth to the pocket, he's been able to set the pocket and create some movement in the run game, so we've been happy there. And that's part of building a roster. That's my job, and my front office's job is to create competition. And I think Matt's done a really good job there, and Nate has some things he can continue to work on. And it's, you know, again, there's depth. And as we go along the season, there's going to be things that happen and injuries. So we're going to need everyone to stay ready.
So look, let me talk about the elephant in the room. Because the four of us, the four people on this show, we all started out on a board. All four of us. And we're all annoyed by the audio that we have to play.
And that's because the elephant was in the room and distracting the microphone. Oh, no, the elephant in the room is the issue of the audio. I got it now. Yes, go ahead.
So look, I will tell you that one of the things is that we're boosting so you can hear the question. The reporters, that isn't the problem, though. The problem is how that room, whatever that room is and how it's set up, we're aware of it. What bothers, because they don't really care about sound. Like for our medium, it's not a big deal to a lot of these teams for us to get quality sound. But considering that we grabbed this from their website, that's sound that they should care about.
That's just the room, apparently.
It is the room, but there are things that you can do. And sometimes I wish there were things that they did better when it came to this. So, yes, we're aware that the sound is a problem.
Do I need to give you more history on Hanbury Manor, where the Bears are staying and where that podium was placed, Lawrence? Because Hanbury Manor, which is now a hotel and a country club, the Jacobean-style manor house set in 200 acres of beautiful countryside.
That sounds great.
In Hertfordshire.
Well, that sounds great. The sound doesn't.
No. But, like, they couldn't find a room at Hanbury Manor that sounded better than that?
Well, my point is, I don't think that they care. Like, to them, it doesn't matter that much because the press that works in written word will be able to transcribe everything. It wasn't so bad that
care.
You can't, you know what Ryan Pohl said. But for what we do,
like, you don't hear the questions.
Even with the softening and the compression that happens, it's still a hard listen. So we do appreciate you listening with us with intent, that because of what we're trying to bring to you. But yes, we also feel that it's annoying.
I'll give credit to him on the depth of the offensive line. Matt Pryor has been pretty good. And it's also been helped by some of the Caleb stuff that he was talking about. Caleb right now is getting rid of the ball in 2.79 seconds. His time to throw is 2.79, which is right in the middle of the pack of the NFL. It's the same exact time as Dak Prescott. So there was a concern for that, that Caleb was going to be a guy who held the ball long, long, long. He is not. Highest number in the league is Brock Purdy. Jalen Hurts is up there. Justin Fields is up there as well.
Brock got to get the ball out, because if he doesn't get the ball out, he doesn't really have the arm strength to get it. He's not one of those guys that can make it up if he's late. Caleb is. Caleb's one of those guys that can, because his, not only does he have a strong arm, he's got a quick release. The thing with Justin is that Justin has a strong arm, but his release is not quick. But this year, he's been getting the ball out faster than what he was doing with the Bears, which is a good thing for him.
Yeah, a little bit faster. That's for sure. Ryan Poles talked about Jaquan Brisker as well, who has not made the trip and is suffering a concussion, the concussion symptoms. Here's Ryan Poles talking about Jaquan Brisker.
Yeah, there's always the human side and the health side. So we want to make sure he's in a good place and stays healthy. You know, there's different techniques and things to protect your head, and I think he actually wound that play. It was unfortunate. I thought he was doing the right thing there. But we'll take our time and make sure he's completely healthy and make sure our training staff's involved with that to make sure he's in a good place now and into the future.
But that's interesting that he thought he was doing the right thing there. Lowered the shoulder, had the head off to the side.
I agree with him. If you watch the play again, Brisker does like this. For those that can see me on Twitch, he does turn his body. It's funny because in the moment, both Patrick and Olin said that's on the ball carrier. That they thought that was a case of the ball carrier
lowering his head
and his helmet, and ends up, you know, causing him to be in the concussion protocol and Jaquan.
So while we're on the topic, here's Matt Eberflus talking about Brisker and on that tackle specifically.
We always talk to all of our players, and you know, I've taught this way of tackling that we tackle for since 95. And so, you know, it's the hamstring tackle with tackling with your shoulders. You know, it's a low tackle. And that's what he was executing on that play. You know, and it just happened to have, he had a shoulder in there and just went helmet to helmet, you know, somehow. But you're always concerned, you know, for Jaquan and making sure, you know, I said my prayers and I talked to him about that. He's done a good job of keeping his head out of the game, you know, and that was an unfortunate incident on that play.
Yeah. So he's got him in his prayers. I wonder if Jaquan is going to think about the cap, the expanded cap.
I don't think so. I don't think that's how he's wired. I think he's going to keep playing the way he plays until he can't play anymore. And unfortunately for him and for us, I think it's not going to be a very long career. I think it's going to be explosive. I think it's going to be fun to watch. It's just his style. You can't do that forever. You end up in a bad spot physically. And not just concussions. Just a lot of stuff that's going to happen to him that's not going to allow him to play as much as we would all like for him to play.
We need to have some fun before we get out of here.
I feel like I've had fun all day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, what's that mean, man?
Shane, you need to have some fun before we get out of here.
Okay, sorry.
Like Samantha Fox.
I would like to have some fun if I can.
See, you're too young for that reference.
Yeah, that one goes over my head.
Which is good. I was talking to the older part of the demo anyway.
Tanny?
Sounds sassy to me. All you guys sound very sassy and bossy, I might ask.
Bossy and sassy. That's our new morning show. Hi, everybody. I'm bossy.
That's the current one.
Oh. Who's who, though? It's so hard to tell.
That's for you to decide.
Oh, yeah.
We'll hear from someone sassy. Nice.
Speaking of the morning show, both me and Chris Tannehill heard Dustin's takeaway from the Bulls game. And
what?
You need to hear this.
Really?
Yeah, you
Let's
do.
Go. That's next. Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.